All right, welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. Let me get this right. Our text for today is Deuteronomy chapter 34, which is the text for Transfiguration Sunday. And after we go through it, we may be able to talk for a few minutes about some of the homiletical directions that you might take on this text. But it's a very interesting text from a number of perspectives. Hi, come on in. And so it bears our kind of close look. So it's actually all 12 verses, so we get to read a whole chapter of the Bible today. Okay? And I'm going to start at verse 1, so chapter 34. Vaya'al Moshe me'arbot Moab el har Nebo. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo. Vaya'al is, of course, from the root Allah, to go up. Simple call, five consecutive perfect. And then our boat is the plural from Arabah. So Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo. Now all this is taking place, remember, on the east side of the Jordan. And it's kind of in the northeast of the Dead Sea. So if you think of the northern part of the Dead Sea, northeast of that, that's kind of where they've identified where this is going. Okay. So he went to the Mount Nebo, Rosh HaPisgah. To the top of Pisgah. So Pisgah must have been a peak in that area. Okay. Asher al pnei Yericho, which is al pnei, at the face of, or opposite Jericho. Okay. Ba yarehu Yahweh et kol haaretz et ha-gilad ad dan. And Yahweh showed him. That Vayarehu is from the root Ra'ah. Notice it's a hiphil, imperfect vav consecutive, with a third masculine singular suffix. So there's a whole bunch of stuff grouped into one little construction there. And so Ra'ah means to see, to cause, to see, or to show. So Yahweh showed him all the land. Now notice how the et specifies that and elaborates. That is, Gilead until Dan. Okay, and remember, Dan was in the northern part, so he's going to be looking at the kind of the extent of the inheritance that Israel received, and that's what he's going to be describing in the next couple of verses here. So he goes on, Ve'et kol Naphtali, ve'et eretz Ephraim, u'menasheh, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh. Ve'et kol eretz Yehuda, and all the land of Judah, Ad Hayam Ha'acharon, until the sea, the last sea. Now, Acharon is an adjective that means last. Okay, but in this context, it doesn't mean last, it means western. Okay, so it's talking about the Mediterranean. Ad ha, until the sea, the western sea, would be a better translation. All right. Verse 3, he's continuing with the places here. Ve'et ha-Negev, and the Negev. Vat ha kikar bikat Yericho. Okay, here we go. kikar, you may have seen that word in connection with loaves of bread, because it can mean one of those round loaves of bread, and it can also mean a circuit or environs, and it's usually translated here something like a valley or something. But notice that the area or the environs of the valley of Jericho. So in other words, The area around Jericho, okay? Ir HaTemarim, the city of palms, Ad Zoar. Zoar is south of the Dead Sea. Okay, so you're talking about a huge expanse of land. So one of the unusual aspects of this text, obviously, is that there is no place that you can physically stand and physically see all this stuff. So already, kind of implicit in the text, is something beyond normal experience. All right, and I think that's important for maybe how we want to take it when we're preaching on it. Just remember that. Okay. So notice, I mean, you get quite a detail. It's kind of interesting the detail that has gone into in describing what Moses saw here. All right. Verse 4. Vayomer Yahweh lav zot haaretz asher nishbati. L'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, u'l'Yaakov, l'Emor, l'Zara'aka, et Nena, her'itika be'eneka v'shama lo ta'avor. And Yahweh said to him, this is the land which I swore. Notice that that's a Niphal from Shabbat, but it only occurs in the Niphal anyway. So it's not passive or anything like that. Which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And if you go back through Genesis, he's simply recounting the number of times that Yahweh made the covenant with the forefathers. All right, saying, to your seed, etnenna, I will give it. This is a call, imperfect, from the root natan. It has a third feminine singular suffix, because the suffix refers to land. And notice that the little dagesh in the nun and the segel before it, that's another assimilated letter, and that's an assimilated nun. All right, so it looks like a real complicated word. It's one of those energic nuns. And remember, whenever you have a nun with a silent schwander, it usually assimilates. And again, an indicator that this is an imperfect form. All right, to your seed I will give it. All right, heritika. Notice that that's from the root ra'a, another hifil, first common singular. I showed you. Okay, I have showed it, obviously, it to you. Be'eneka, in your eyes, or he could see with his own eyes, with your own eyes, kind of like that. I've shown it with your own eyes. Veshama, that's from Sham plus the locative hay. But to there, lo ta'avor, you will not pass over. Okay, so the whole verse is, Yahweh said to him, this is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, to your seed I will give it. I have shown you it with your eyes, with your own eyes, or in your own eyes, but there you will not cross. To there you will not cross. And notice, again, that recalls the story when Moses wasn't allowed to cross because of what he did in Numbers 20. He struck the rock when Yahweh didn't tell him to do that. If you're reading through the book of Deuteronomy, there are a number of times that Moses brings this up in his sermons to Israel, from a number of different perspectives. And if you're studying this for a sermon, you might want to look back at those and see how Moses talks about this event. Because at one time in chapter 3, he pleads with Yahweh, and even in chapter 32, right before this, there's a whole section in which this event is recounted. All right? So it looms pretty large in the book. And once again, we have it here, that he's not allowed to enter the Promised Land. He's actually buried on the east side of the Jordan, as we will see. Okay? So here comes the account of his death. Vayamat sham Moshe eved Yahweh be'eretz Moab al pi Yahweh. So Moses died there from Mut. Again, simple call imperfect, it's a hollow verb. So Moses died there. Moses, the Eved Yahweh. Not very many people are called Eved Yahweh. He's called this way back in Exodus 3. Exodus 14, right after they crossed the Red Sea. And it says that the people believed in Yahweh and also in Moses, Avdo, his servant. All right. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the command, here literally, mouth of Yahweh. Okay, verse 6. Vayigboroto bagai be'eretz Moab mul beit Peor. And he buried him. And again, the supposed subject is God. But notice that the Samaritan Pentateuch and the Septuagint has a third person plural. Yikberu. They buried him there, so it takes a little mystery out of it. But the Masoretic text has the singular. And he buried him, Bagai. That's just in the valley. Normally there's an aleph after the yud. It's gimel, yud, aleph, gai. But there are a few spellings, as the Masoretic note on the side tells you. There are a number of times from the places of curse where you have this other spelling. All right? In the valley of the land of Moab. Mul is a simple particle. It means opposite. Opposite Beit Peor. Velo yada'ish. And a man does not know. We would say no one knows et kevurato, his burial place, his grave, ad hayom hazeh, even to this day. Okay? Notice another mysterious element in the text. Moses' body, you don't know where it is. God buried him, see? So it's another kind of interesting text that tells us we're beyond the bounds of kind of a regular event here. Okay? Now verse 7. U'Moshe ben Me'ah ve'esrim shana be'moto. Now Moses, notice it's literally son of 100, but son of 120 years. Moses was 120 years old, we would say. Again, very commonly, this is the idiom. Notice with numbers like esrim and beyond the number 10, when you have common nouns that it modifies, like shana, year, yom, day, ish, man, the noun is singular, not plural. Okay, so you have it here. He was 120 years old, bemoto, in his death. That's from mavet, death, plus third masculine, singular suffix. Okay? Lo kahata, eno. His eye had not grown dim. The root is kaf hey hey. Kal, third feminine, singular. Kal hey, kaf hey hey. His eye had not grown dim, velo nas lecho, nor had his vigor, leach, his vigor, nas, fled. All right. Notice the spelling for the third masculine singular suffix on lecho. In the same line, look at eino, you have it with a vav. At the end of the line, lecho, you have it with a hey. Okay, so it's kind of mixed there. Some suggest that one might be an older spelling. Others suggest that in earlier Hebrew, there were two different pronunciations. All right? But a number of these have kind of not been updated. In other words, the updating form is the vav, and you don't have that here. Another place that happens is Genesis 49. The blessing to Judah, all of a sudden, you'll get the mixture of third masculine singular spellings. All right? Verse 8. Va'yivku b'nei Yisrael es Moshe be'arbot Moab shelishim yom. The children of Israel wept from Baka, call imperfect. The children of Israel wept over Moses be'arbot in the plains of Moab shelishim for 30 days. Here it is again. Notice day is singular with the number 30. For 30 days. If you're under the number 10, it's almost always plural. It's kind of funny. Okay. Vayit mu yeme beki eva Moshe. Okay. Notice the verb is from tamam. It's a double ein. Kal imperfect. And it means to end. Then the days of mourning ended. And now notice you have beki eva. Two words for mourning. The days of weeping, mourning for Moses. Most translations you have to add an and there. The days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Right, but both those, Beki and Evel, are just nouns. V'hoshua bin Nun Male Ruach Chokma. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, Male, was full of Ruach Chokma, was full of a wise spirit. Ki Samach Moshe et Yadav Allah. Because Moses had samacht, had laid his Yadav, his hands, Allah, on him. Vayishme'u elav, and they heard, listened to him. See, that was the result. The B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, listened to him. Vayasu ka'asher tziva Yahweh et Moshe. And they did, from Asa, as Yahweh commanded. A P.L. perfect, third masculine singular, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Okay? verse 10. Velokam navio b'Yisrael kemoshe. Now, not has risen from Qum, again a simple call, not has risen a prophet again in Israel, Kemoshe, like Moses. Okay? Asher yedo Yahweh panim el panim. Who, this is very, now notice the construction, who Yahweh had known him. That's again of the verb yada, third masculine singular with third masculine singular suffix. Who Yahweh had known him, we would say in English, whom Yahweh had known, okay, whom Yahweh had known, panim el panim, face to face. Verse 11. Lakol ha'otot v'hamoftim asher shalacho Yahweh. Now notice how verse 11 expands on this. talking about the special relationship that Yahweh had with Moses. So he knew him face to face. Now, there had not arisen a prophet like Moses, whom Yahweh had known face to face, in respect to all the signs and all the wonders which Yahweh sent him, La'asot, to do in the land of Egypt. Notice that La'asot is a infinitive construct from Asa. So again, you have to take verse 11 in connection with verse 10 to see the connection, why he's using all these lamads, which you're going to see in the next two verses. Not had a prophet arisen still in Israel like Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face. So a prophet not arisen with him in accord with or in respect to all the signs and the wonders which Yahweh sent him. So in other words, the author is saying there were other prophets, and there were other great prophets, but not like Moses in respect to all the things that he did, all right, in the land of Egypt. In respect to Pharaoh and to all Abdab, his servants, and in respect to all Artso, his land. Okay, verse 12, Ula kol hayad ha-chazaka, and in respect to all the, and here it means hand, but we would say power, and chazaka is the adjective that modifies it, and in respect to all the mighty power, and in respect to all ha-mora, all the awe. Mora, notice that you can see the root of Mora is Yare, to be afraid. Add a mem to it, it becomes a noun. Okay, and in respect to all the awe or fear, Hagadol, the great fear, which Moses Asa did, La'ene, in front of or in the sight of all Israel. Okay? Now notice, I think one kind of direction you can go in this text, when if you want to preach on it, for transfiguration, it makes a great sermon, I think, especially in connection with its fulfillment in Christ, you see, because you have that natural connection. Notice it's talking about Moses' prophetic role, who was faithful to God and yet died for his people. And you have the fulfillment of the prophet who was finally greater than Moses, of course, in Christ, who fulfilled the role of the prophet faithfully and also died as well. Notice that the end of Moses is mysterious. You don't know where his grave is. God buried him. So in he presumably still lies in the tomb. But the other prophet, the greater one, rose up from the tomb. And so notice you have, just because of the kind of extraordinary nature of this text that's implied, you kind of have an eschatological theme that you can do if you preach on this text, see, as you move from Moses to his fulfillment, and talk about then the role of God's people, you know, in relation to Christ, and you know, how they follow Moses and we follow Christ, and what that means for how we carry out his mission in this world. Okay? All right. Thank you.